You are listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscop. This message was recorded on February 28, 2024, and is titled, Cheated Again. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, and let's join Steve and the message.
It's about walking in the clothing of Christ. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead has now given life to your mortal body. If you're not living eternity, don't expect it. Boy, there's another good one just came out. If you're not living it, don't expect it. In my Father's house, where the people of God dwell, because my Father's house dwells in them. He says right here, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting, having wiped out the written law, the certificate of debt. That's what that was, that handwriting, the certificate of debt. What we would owe to buy our life back. Have you ever thought about that? Now, if you were me, I wouldn't live long enough to make enough money to buy back everything I've done against God just in the first 35 years of my life, 35 years of unsaved life. If I had to pay $10 for every time I used the Lord's name in vain, I'd just have to write a hot check. Oh, yeah, that's the guy that's up here teaching you right now. Boy, he was a knothead now. That's why it's taken so long me working this process of being a non-knothead, because I was like a knothead on steroids. And he said he wiped out that debt. What holds us captive? There's two things in your life that's going to hold you captive. Can anybody name them? Come on, out loud. Somebody say, one of the things that'll hold you right in the same spot where you can't go forward. You're just held captive. Either it's caused your low self-esteem, or your inability to think straight, or your relationship with God, or your relationship with the people around you. One thing causes that for sure. Sin. Sin's like seaweed. It'll tangle you up and suffocate you to death, won't it? Get all tangled up in that sin. You're so tangled up in guilt and everything else, you can't go nowhere. What's the next thing that will hold you hostage? Religion. Religion will hold you hostage. Religion will never show you how to live. It will always tell you where to be and tell you how to be and tell you when to be. When my Bible says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So right here when he's talking about this and he says we've wiped out those requirements, he set us free. What did the blood of the Lamb do in the Passover? Set them free, didn't it? Free from the spirit of death that was going to pass over every home. So every male, animal, or child was killed that night. The fear of the spirit of death that the Israelites were free from. What did that fear cause? You see, there's another knucklehead on steroids. His name was Pharaoh. Finally threw his hands up in the air when he'd lost his very own and said, get out of here. You're free. You're free. That's all represented in the Passover. I could preach every verse in this Bible and tie it to the Passover. Every one. He said, I wiped out the debt. How many of y'all got born again? Some of you guys got born again a little later in life. And you spent the next 5 years trying to make it up. Oh, God, I've wasted a lot of time. I can't believe I just now figured this out. You can't make it up. You can't pay it back. You know why? Your life's worth too much and you can't afford it. That's why God paid it. Your father paid it for you. You can't afford the value of your life. Dang, that's another good one right there. There's some good ones coming out. Somebody write some of this down so you remember it. Have you ever thought about that? You can't afford the value of your life. Your father could. So he inspected the lamb. And here you are. So he wiped out the debt. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. These powers and principalities, I want you to think what was happening that very day. So when Jesus went to the well in Samaria, let's pick that one. I don't have any of this written down. I'm just however the Lord leads. Now, you do know Jews were not supposed to be hanging out with Samaritans. That was a big no-no. How many of y'all ever grew up in a denomination that they told you you couldn't marry somebody in a different denomination? You heard it. We've heard all this stuff. Well, these Jews, you can't get around these Samaritans. And now Jesus is a guy. So you sure shouldn't be hanging out here drinking water with some harlot from Samaria. That's an absolute no-no. Did Jesus have troubles with a harlot from Samaria? Not in the least. What did he offer? The living water, the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God. He offered a chance to function, live eternally in the Father's house. Read her mail, knew every sin, knew every stupid thing she'd done, knew the guy that she was living with right now. So, whatever power or principality she had going on, didn't seem to be that big a deal that day, did it? Did you ever hear him call a prostitute a whitewashed tomb? Boy, this is coming out way better than I thought it would. Did you ever hear him stand around, even the guys who decided not to even follow him anymore? Did you ever hear him call them a brood of vipers? No, their sin already had them captive. His blood, they just sang about it, learned something from it. Took that all away, disarmed it all, that sin. Who was the hardest to disarm back in the days of Jesus? The Pharisees. Yeah, the Pharisees. Spent all their time trying to prove him wrong, trying to dismantle his reputation. Yeah, Jesus took it on the chin every day by the rulers of Jerusalem, who hung out in the temple, the high priest. You know one of the funny things when you read the Bible? Guys like Gamaliel, most of them that were labeled high priest, it's kind of funny. In their conversations, you could tell they still kind of got it. You know, Gamaliel's the one that told the boys one day, he said, hey, if you keep fighting with these guys, if God's with them, you're going to lose. We tried this 400 years ago and it didn't work. You're going to be fighting against God. So even some of them higher ups knew a little something that was going on, but because of their tradition, because of what they grew up in, because of what they'd been told to believe, what they'd all ganged up and doubled down on, doubled down. Listen to me, doubled down. We have doubled down.
And as long as you continue to double down, you got to stick to your story. But one of these days, by the blood of the Lamb, you can be free, because he disarmed every religious principality. He put it on the cross out in public and made a spectacle of it. People who walked in sin were not the problem. They were the potential. People who walked in religion, a little harder to deal with. There's a lot of days I think I know exactly how Jesus felt. there's just times. He says right here, so let no one, listen, whoa, y'all may want to skip this part. Somebody want to get up and leave, go ahead. I won't look and I won't say your name. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance, the reality, is in Christ. How many of us have been told all our life, do this, do this, do this, do this, because you're a believer? And how many of us are simply believers because we know Christ? It's awful quiet. Some of y'all staring at me like calf under a gate here. There is no punchline. No punchline. There's nothing else. You do this and do this and do this and do this because people who claim to know Jesus told you that's what you do when you know Jesus. The truth of the matter is you simply know Jesus. That's it. And when you know Jesus, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you've surrendered to be a follower. Not, that's what's wrong with the prayer and the blowing the snot and the, so we'll see y'all in heaven. No, come into my Father's house today. Come into the Father's house today. The only way in the Father's house is to come through the door. And John 10 says, I am the door. Anybody comes in any other way is a thief and a robber. Come into the Father's house today. But Jesus Christ is the door. The only way to come in through the door is to bow your knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, Jesus, I know you are who you are. And today I know who I am. Will you forgive me for being me? Will you forgive my sins? Will you resurrect me from the dead? If I promise to obey you the best I can, God, will you wipe my slate clean? Will you pay my debt? And will you place your Holy Spirit all over me? I didn't come for a Brill Cream experience. I don't want a little dabble, do you? I'm telling you, God, I want the whole thing. And he said, come into my Father's house. For I've gone there to prepare a place for you, and if I've done so, I will return that I may be where you are also. I've used John 14:1 to do over 500 funerals. Never again. That's not about six guys dropping you in a hole and you ended up somewhere else later on. He went and prepared a place. He prepared his Father's house. He did it through the life, death, and resurrection because he's the Lamb of God who shed his blood, who went to the tomb, who rose from the grave, ascended into heaven to fill the universe. And 50 days later, there was an outpouring, a one-time outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost began to fill the saints. And saints were born again and being filled and clothed in the Holy Spirit. It was miraculous. It was wondrous. It brought fear among the people. Go read Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. Go ahead and go to Acts chapter 5 and you'll find people that lied to the Holy Ghost and they died on the spot. Go to Acts chapter 7 where they sought people to lead the church and lead the people of God, and they said, find me 7 guys full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't find 7 guys who went to seminary, who'd been going to church and doing every right thing that a Christian's supposed to do. Find me 7 men full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about. Knowing him. Man, I ain't used none of them notes tonight. God's speaking to us, y'all. He's speaking to us. We've been given an opportunity. He nailed all that crud that's been lying to us and holding us captive. He nailed it to the cross. We just didn't see it. We've been blinded. I've been telling this for 20 years and nobody knew what I was talking about. I said when Jesus died on the cross and there at whatever hour that was, the ninth hour or something, he breathed his last and the curtain was rent in two into the Holy of Holies. And we gained access into the presence of God. The people of God could find the presence of God, no longer having a high priest to make sacrifice for us once a year, nor once a day. The inner court, the outer court, and the holy place. That temple was all a foreshadowing of things to come. And now we can walk right into the Father's house. We dwell right in the Father's house. And man, in his infinite wisdom, in the name of Jesus, under the steeple, behind the stained glass windows, in your seminaries, in your theologies, and all your ideas, and your manipulation of men, and the manipulation of the pocketbook, and the future of your ministries and your organizations, you reconstructed a wall that was rent in two by the Lamb himself that said, you can't come in here where the high priest used to go because you got to follow the order of our religion. Here's how you got to act. Don't come in. Let me tell you today in the Holy of Holies, once you go in, you don't come out. The priest went in and couldn't come out. Just have to tie a rope around his leg to drag him out of there. Once you've come into the presence of God, Hebrews chapter 4, it is impossible for those who have tasted the heavenly gift. It is impossible for those who have tasted to turn away from Christ, for to their shame they crucify him all over again. It is impossible to unknow what you know, and it is impossible to unknow who you know. Now I'm going to tell you God's up to something tonight. Let me get back to the script. But he triumphed over them. Do we look like a triumphant group of people? I mean, for real. We've been getting our butt handed to us now for a while. We're a generational disaster. We've forfeited our promise as a country. We've neglected our duties with other nations across the land. We no longer can evangelize. We need to be evangelized. But Jesus said he triumphed over all that stuff. Jesus had the victory over it all. How many of y'all had kids that played sports? How many of y'all had a kid play a football game that was like 21 points ahead at halftime? Do you know what the coach tells them in the locker room every time you're 21 points ahead at halftime? This is yours to lose. This is yours to lose. This was ours to lose. It had already been paid for. It had already been won. And it was ours to lose. But he's trying to help us out of it here. So let no one judge you on this kind of stuff. The substance is Christ. Let no one cheat you. Let no one rob you. That's what we talked about last week. We've been robbed. We've been robbed of our freedom. We've been robbed of God's glory. We've been robbed of the power to walk in the miracles, signs, and wonders, the victory of God, the working of the Holy Ghost. Do you know what? You know how we've been robbed? Most of you believe in the quietness of your own life that the only way you're going to see a big, powerful move of God is if you get in a pile somewhere. If you go to an event on a weekend, come to a place, watch a guy who's been practicing this stuff, get around somebody who do it, we'll see a big move of God. I'm going to tell you what, when you get up in the morning, why don't you just look around and see if you can't see a miraculous move of God while you still got your PJs on. Because the miracle working power is in you no matter where you are, no matter where you're at. For those of us who know Christ, we don't have to have all this to make something happen. If you're not careful, that'll be your bondage. Come on, I'm preaching good. The need for the group. We do need a group. This is a good thing. I think this is a good thing. Surely y'all think it's a good thing, or you wouldn't be sitting here listening to me yapping all the time. You could go buy your own cookies. You don't have to come here. But he said, don't get cheated. We got cheated out of the Passover. This is a key component in the kingdom of God. And for the last 1900 years, we have been robbed. And he says right here, don't get cheated. And don't delight in false humility. Oh, God, I remember that. And they still do it today. How many Christians you know that love their misery? They love their troubles. They this, oh, woe is me. And here's my favorite one, whatever tribe this comes from. And I know y'all know, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you dangling. The blood of Jesus washed you white as snow. The blood of Jesus cleansed you so that you could be sanctified. The blood of Jesus justified you so you could come in the Father's house. The Father's house overwhelmed you so you could be sanctified for the purposes of God. You are extremely useful by God. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You're the body of Christ, for crying out loud. You're the living stones. You're the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. When you open your mouth, you speak the very words of God. You have ears to hear God. Do you have a willing spirit to sustain you? Will you follow in the footsteps of Christ? That's you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. That old false sense of humility, you know, you better come back next week, because you won't survive 7 days without a preacher. Well, here, I got a good idea. If you can't survive 7 days without a preacher, go get a pacifier and some diapers too. You better get where you can. Better start studying for yourself to show yourself approved. Start listening to God and letting the Holy Spirit work in you. And then he said, and then the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head with capital H, talking about Jesus, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows at the increase that is from God. The increase that is from God. You know what he's saying right here? Quit pretending. Quit. If you see angels in here, great. People have. I wish I could. I've given up on the idea. I think I smelt a couple of them once. I've had people tell me they're all around all the time. That's great. If you see them, great. You know, the old gift of tongues, that's a good one. You know, we don't hear much about that around here. Been pretty quiet. You know, I'm a full-fledged tongue talker all the time. If I get ready, if God wants me to do that here, I'll do it. Because probably can't keep from it. But I have stood around with the super spiritual. Got a buddy of mine one time, they was praying over him to speak in tongues. He started talking in Spanish so they'd get off from him. How many of you have been forced into some kind of spirituality because you felt inferior? No confessions here tonight, but how many of you been around people who give the aroma of a pretender? I'm going to tell you, if we're standing in a prayer circle and you start yodeling and it ain't tongues, I'm stomping on your foot. We'll make you scream to Jesus. We used to, you know, we went through a phase. We've gone through all these phases here. Now, some of you were here and some of you hadn't been. But we got in this deal where people was getting prayed for and flopping over. And it was, a lot of it was God. There were some things of God. I remember one night in that other old building over, man, they were stacked around here like cordwood. You couldn't make them people fall like that if you hit them in the head with a hammer. Nobody's got nerve enough to fake it, fall over the drums and land on two fat guys. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But it happened then, and it's happened a couple of times. But then you get these other ones, you know, every week. So I just got me a litmus test. Back before we put this flooring in, if you came up and they call them, you know, Benny Hinn and them, they call them courtesy drops, CDs, courtesy drops. If you come to give me a courtesy drop, I'm just going to back you up to the concrete. Knock yourself out. I mean, knock yourself out. I'm making a point here. How much of this stuff we do that we, it's not real.
And that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.